Let's pause for a pure, crisp, smart water break. It's the vapor distilled, purely balanced pH smart water you love. Fit for your go-to playlist when you're on the go. Visit drinksmartwater.com to learn more.
Benbridge is your personal jeweler, your on-call treasure hunter, and fearless fashion explorer. 20 years ago, we introduced the most beautiful diamond we have ever offered. The Signature Forever Mark Diamond, found exclusively at Benbridge, is beautiful, rare, and responsibly sourced. Each diamond is hand-selected and graded beyond the normal four C's. Less than 1% of the world's diamonds qualify to become a Signature Forever Mark Diamond. Click the banner to explore our Signature Forever Mark Diamond collection. Benbridge.
Spaceball Dad's number 38.
Hey, Dad? You want to have a catch?
I'd like that.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to Baseball Dads. My name is Jason Aquisto. Hope your summer's gone well. I'm here. It's September 2020. What a year. It's Baseball Dads number 38. Baseball Dads number 38. Baseball Dads number 38. 2020, what a year. I hope you and your family are doing well, healthy, and adjusting to things. I'm just happy that baseball is back. Happy to watch baseball every day, even though it's a short season, a 60-game sprint. But hey, real Major League Baseball games being played. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Today's interview is part two with Jack Ferrick. My favorite quote from Jack is, "When you're done learning, you're done coaching." When you're done learning, you're done coaching. That's Jack Ferrick's philosophy. So I'm very glad to resume this conversation with Jack from CatchersU.com. Catchers, the letter U.com. So I mean, here's a guy who is not just an expert instructor for catchers, for hitters at the high school and college levels. He is also an associate scout for the Milwaukee Brewers. Okay, he offers some terrific insight for players and parents at the stage they're in now. He is a successful high school coach. And listen, if your son is hoping and planning to move forward and continue playing at the collegiate level, this guy knows what it takes. Like, what are scouts looking for in a player? What do they look at? Is there a certain kind of physical build or a skill set that they're looking for? So Jack gets into all of that. It's our second conversation, and you'll learn a lot. Really hope you enjoy it. And now check out Jack at CatchersU.com. That's Catchers, letter U.com. Expert training and advice for your young player. So this is me talking with Jack Ferrick on Baseball Dads. Let's pick it up when I ask Jack what advice he has for parents of young players during those tough moments. How to approach those difficult conversations.
Try to be all in the sense of, okay, you went 0-for-3. And hey, and how was in these car rides home? You struck out with bases loaded. You did this. Okay, yeah, well, most kids know if they struck out with bases loaded, they know that. But if you can go, all right, well, why did that happen? Okay, where could you have done better in that situation? You know, You took the first pitch, which was your best pitch that you saw the whole AB. You fought off a good breaking ball. You then, got to a point where he had you set up and he beat you. Or you took another fastball where you should have been looking. Now that's information that I can get better with. And I can say, okay, well, in that situation, I can't be timid. I need to be aggressive because that pitcher came right at me. So the next time I'm in that situation, I'm going to say, okay, you know what? If I get beat, it's not going to be because I'm not aggressive. And you go out and maybe you strike out again, but you strike out swinging and whatever. But now there's a game plan and there's a recipe to get better and how to take failure and say, okay, this is why I failed. Now, how do I smooth that out working, you know, moving forward?
Yeah. What you're doing is building a set of tools to go forward and use next time. And that's a great conversation that I would suggest not every parent is comfortable or equipped to have with their younger player. And I know you're coming at it from a coach's perspective, and I'm laughing thinking about how many parents think I'm going to have that conversation with my kid. And no, they really don't want to have that with mom or dad because
right. We
don't know. We don't know how to instruct them. So from a coach's perspective, I'm with you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think from a parent, I think the most basic thing that you can do as a parent, because again, I think if you can set goals and you can set framework to your conversations, then it allows you to maybe take emotion out a little bit more, right? Because at the end of the day, parents are not mad at their son for striking out. They're mad that their son failed and they feel bad and they want, and most parents don't like that feeling for their child. So when they talk and then it comes into an emotional conversation where I think is if you can say, okay, you know, you do, okay, offense, defense, and then let's say you're a pitcher, right? Offense, defense, pitching. What are our goals for this week? You know, okay, what's our goal? All right, my goal, and don't make it results-based. Not to strike out. Don't do that. Say, okay, my goal is to work on what Coach Jack taught me in the lesson. Okay, what was his big focus? It was to finish my swing. Okay, so here's the thing. If every swing you take that weekend, you finish, you get an A. Because that's your goal, you know, defensively. I want to make sure, you know, defensively, okay, I want to make sure that as an infielder, I'm going to stay in front of every ball. I'm not, you know, I've had an issue with, you know, letting the ball, I'm going to stay in front of every ball. And you know what? That ball hits me. I throw the ball away. Okay, that doesn't matter because my goal was to do this. And I think in pitching, I'm going to try to throw strikes or I'm going to be – fluid or I'm going to, and you set a goal of something that you can control. Because as soon as you go to results, that's not fair because you're competing against somebody. Mm-hmm. You can't guarantee that you're going to go 4-for-4. You can't guarantee that you're going to strike out people, you know?
Yeah. And but you can control what you can control. Exactly. Correct. What my son's high Correct. School coach is always saying. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And it's those measurable, incremental goals that you're talking about. Hey, something that you can do this week to give yourself small victories, small measurable growth. Yeah, like you need me to tell you, I agree. I mean, you're the instructor. I'm glad to hear you say this because it makes sense to me. And I think that's what's beautiful about baseball is it's a long game. It's a long process. Focus on incremental growth. You're not going to get up there and you don't get an instant return on investment every time. And that's right. Hard for parents sometimes to go. Yeah.
And I think the other thing too is, and one of the values that I had growing up playing multiple sports, and I think it's something that people, you know, not to open up. I know that's a big conversation that a lot of people have, but one advantage of playing multiple sports is playing a clock-based sport versus playing baseball. And what I can tell you is how many times games where I had to sit there and watch the other team taking me, or, you know, you get this different level of competitiveness. And I think in baseball, you know, when you play multiple sports, like you can be very bad for the first 6 innings of the game and then come up and win the game for your team. And there's no clock. So like being able to put this in place for your child, like the best story for kids is when they go, yeah, I was 0-for-3 and I struck out 3 times, but then I got the game winning hit. Like that's mental toughness. That is, okay, there was a game plan and I didn't lose my confidence. And the kids that can struggle early in a game and come back and have success later, they're the ones that are super special. And those are the kids, as coaches, I think you try to figure out, okay, what makes them comfortable after failure, and how do I get that to the rest of my team? Because we've all seen it where it goes the other way, where a kid, you know, strikes out his first AB, then he'll make an error, and then it just, it snowballs on him. Or vice versa. Kid comes up, makes an unbelievable play defensively, or he gets a big hit his first AB, and he's a monster the rest of the game. You know, the hardest part about baseball is, you know, the valleys and the peaks. But if you're able to create an environment where we have goals and we're chasing our process, you're able to stay even keel longer and have success throughout the whole game. And I think that's the trick to it, right? Like the trick to having your child enjoy the game is understanding that, okay, I got beat this time. This is what I'm going to do this time. This is what I'm going to, okay, you know what? I had a bad day statistically, but this is what I learned. And I think, you know, that, and that doesn't mean your kid's not competitive. That doesn't mean your kid's not going to be upset when they fail. It's, as a parent, how do I communicate and how do I get it? How do I make positives? And how do I, and not even how do I make positives, because the last thing anyone, like you said, like the last thing anyone wants to hear when they go 0 for 4 is how bad they were, because we know, you know, you go through that. Or as a coach, you know, you lose a championship game, right? And, you know, and there's a move or you try to send somebody home, like, you know what you did wrong. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the learning though, okay, why did this fail? Why did I do this? You know, okay, you did this because, you know, or you know, what were you thinking? And a lot of times, you know, obviously, you know, the younger the kid, the more emotional a response. So, you know, I've had some people say they drive for the first 30 minutes, they don't talk any baseball in the car ride home. Mm-hmm. And they don't talk any baseball about the game or anything. They just put on, you know, some music, what have you. And then 30 minutes in, they say, all right. Then they start talking about it, because there's at least a little bit of a bubble to kind of calm everybody and you know, and then you know, dive into it.
Right.
And I think those things are, and like you use a great point, return on investment. Mm-hmm. And that's where you have to look at, okay, what are you using baseball for? Are you using baseball to get your child to a scholarship? To play professionally, okay, that's awesome. And that's 1% of the kids that go through this game. Or using baseball to teach your kid how to progress and how to, you know, deal with failure. And that's what, you know, as a father of two kids, I have my daughter and, you know, she's about to start playing sports and everything, and I have a son. My wife and I were talking about, like, you know, why do, you know, she asked me, because she doesn't come from a sports background. She goes, what's the biggest value of putting our child in sports? And I said, it allows them to be in a situation that feels like life or death, but at the end of the day, doesn't really matter. And it gives them the opportunity to have success or fail and how to deal with either one. Learning how to deal with failure is just as important as learning how to deal with success. And I think that if you as a parent are utilizing sports to teach life lessons and to put your kids into it, you're going to have a much more enjoyable experience than if you are just chasing, you know, you're just chasing a scholarship, or you're just chasing, because then you get off process and it's all about results. And your kid has a 4-for-4 weekend, and you're super excited, he has an 0-for-4 weekend, and you're miserable. Whereas if you're utilizing it, and that doesn't mean that people that do that process, it doesn't mean that they can't go on to play professionally. It doesn't mean they can't do it. It's not as much pressure to be successful all the time. And it creates a better learning environment, because learning is rewarded just as results are.
Hey, real quick, if we get knocked off because I'm on a 40-minute free Zoom account, so they sometimes they just knock you off. So just hook back into the same room as before. Just
record. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so I'm not even sure how long we've been talking. But also, I want to plug what you do and how someone could get involved. Is Catcher's University, Catcher's U, how do I get, if I've got a kind of a player in my house that is a catcher, how do I get involved with this and benefit from what you can teach them as a catcher and me as a catcher's parent? How do I get in touch with that?
Yeah, no. So we have a couple different options. Obviously, if you live in the Northern Virginia area, DMV, we run camps, clinics, one-on-one lessons. But if you go to my website, catchersu.com, we also offer online, where we have an online membership where we'll do weekly FaceTime calls, video breakdown, video analysis. And then we also offer just online lessons that allows us, you know, a 30-minute window. We use Zoom technology, and we break in and we get to work. So, you know, I've had kids, you know, in their basements. I've had kids go to facilities. I've had kids go on the field. So, you know, we get work in, and it's basically like having a, you know, catching coach, you know, right there with you. So the catchersu.com, that's the best way to get a hold of us. You can contact us, you know, through the website. We also we're all over social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter. We're on TikTok. We actually have, I think, 61,000 followers on TikTok.
Nice. So, will I see you on TikTok working it? Can I see you?
I tell you what, I the funniest part about it is there's no Coach Jack dance videos, which okay, I know, well, all right. which I know, I mean, that's keeping me from getting to like, you know, a million followers, but it's just, you know, we do a lot of where I do drills, or we do drill progressions, or we do videos of our kids that are going through like the recruiting process. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're always working hard. We're always trying to reach kids and make them feel comfortable. So the best way, like I said, the best way to get a hold of us, catchersu.com.
And all your social links are on the website too, right?
You can
find you on
everything. Yep. And
great. Okay. I'm not trying to wrap it up or anything. I mean, you can talk a little longer, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I wasn't trying to wrap it up. So Jack Ferrick, Ferrick, and you are coaching right now at high school, right? It's pretty high level high
Correct.
School. And that's in Northern Virginia. That's a pretty good area for prep baseball, isn't it?
I tell you what, we've had a lot of really good ball players come out. We've had some, you know, couple of draft picks in the last couple of years, and then we've also had a just ton of kids that have gone on to play collegiately. I know mm-hmm. The showcase organization that I do a lot of work with, Stars, we usually send 40 to 50 kids to college every single year, and we only take from our general area. So we have a couple okay. kids that like we know or something, but for the most part, we take kids from a 40-mile radius. It's there's kids that are, you know, waiting to play till they're, you know, their senior year that I think with other places would probably play right out the gate. Mm. It's a very competitive area, but it's also it's a great area to be at, because if you can have success in that area, a lot of college coaches or coaches going, you know, further on, they have confidence that you're prepared and you're in a spot that you could,
It says a lot to come from that area too. So Central Indiana, here in the suburbs of Indianapolis, is a pretty competitive prep baseball area for youth baseball through travel and through all the programs here. We have a pretty good community of programs here. It's actually pretty cool. We have two high schools in our school district, and each one of them has won the state championship in the past 2 years. So two years ago was my son's high school, and then last year was the other high school. So it's a pretty good area for growing up and coming through a prep baseball. Brownsburg is also famous for producing several major leaguers. Drew Storen is from Brownsburg. There's a former national for you, right?
Right.
Yeah. And then some others. Tucker Barnhart, I believe, is from Brownsburg. He's a current major leaguer, of course, with the Reds.
I know my brother, you know, they recruit Indiana, the state of Indiana, pretty hard at Dayton.
Yeah. We have a player from the high school who's graduating and going in the fall to be at Dayton. His name is Lukak, L-U-K-A-C, Nick Lukak, out of Fishers High School. Very good player in high school. Yeah, pretty
cool. That's really cool. That
good program really cool. There. Tell me about your involvement with Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, so I'm an associate scout, so it's very low level. I was offered the opportunity to help out Dan Nellum, who recruited me to the Naval Academy. He used to be the area guy, and he's moved up the ladder. And now James Fisher is our area scout for my area, and they've done a really cool job with me, just kind of leaving their line of communication open for me. So when I see players, obviously being in the Northern Virginia area, you see a ton of talented kids, and if I see a guy, I pass a name on, and then yeah. The guys that really know what they're doing. My role with Milwaukee, I think I just have a phone number that I'm allowed to call. But maybe other people don't, you know. So.
You're being modest. I appreciate that. There's so much to absorb about a player. When you look at a player, when you eyeball the skill set, and when you recommend him up the line to your next guy, you know, what is the thing that you look at? We've all seen Moneyball. We know how the scouts talk to each other, and we know how it's all changed through the past 20 years. What do you look at?
You know, I think the biggest thing is there's obvious metrics, right? If a kid throws 90, if a kid runs, you know, sub 6'5", if a kid has plus power, unless you're able to have, you know, hooked up to a HitTrax or Rapsodo or TrackMan, you look for those, you know, those physical metrics. I think the key is you look for kids that are going to continue to physically develop. Unless they're already at a spot where you're okay, he doesn't need to develop anymore. You want especially at the lower scouting level, you want to find guys that fit the build and the numbers, so that, okay, now, because the vetting process is, you want to find, there's a ton, and it's crazy, there's a ton of 90 mile an hour arms. Now, once they start going up the ladder, what kind of person is he? You know, that's one thing that the Brewers have always stressed is we want high character kids, especially kids that are coming out of high school, because, you know, they're not going to get their freshman year of college to be away from mom and dad and figure it out. Like, if we're going to give them money, then they have to be adults at 18, 19 years old, because they got to make sure that they're going to bed on time. They got to make sure they're showing up to the workouts. They're eating correctly. They're doing what they need to do. So I think that's where you start seeing a little bit more of a deep dive. And that's normally what ends up happening, is once we get numbers on a player, and we send that up, and then, you know, the higher ups go, okay, we like these people. All right, now find out what kind of person they are. You know, are they going to be able to handle stress? How do they handle failure? I know we had a kid get drafted in the third round a few years back, and he was actually playing my high school, and we had a really good offensive night, and he was absolutely dominant for the whole season. And our team had grown up with that kid, and so the intimidation was maybe a little bit different. Our guys knew who he was, you know, before he was throwing super hard, and we came out and we just swung the bat really well. And one of the things that really helped him in the draft process was he got hit pretty hard, and he stayed in the game. He kept his composure. And I think that's why he probably was taken in the third round and maybe not the fifth, because they were like, I really think this guy mentally can do it, you know, because he's not going to, you know, when kind of we were talking about earlier, like when adversity hits, he's going to be able to continue and play. And I think that's where the scouting kind of gets going, because once you start throwing money at a player, you know, you're making an investment, and every program's different. Every major league team, they go about it a little bit differently. Like I said, I know there's certain organizations they just want athletes, they want speed. They want to focus on that. And then, I think what the Yankees are doing right now is actually really cool. How they're kind of changing how coaching is at their youth, at their minor league levels. If you watched all the hirings that they've done, like they've hired Eric Cressy, they've gone in and you can tell like they've gone more towards developers of talent rather than people who know talent. So they're taking kids that can do certain skills that maybe aren't the complete package, and they're making an effort to put coaches in their system to help develop, to help develop those players. And I all the organizations do a great job. I don't, you know, but you can tell like they have in the last 18 months have really kicked up, you know, the kind of people that they're bringing in.
It's to the Yankees, right?
The Yankees. Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds counterintuitive to the Yankees that we all grew up with, that they would go buy the highest, you know, the best free agents and put together a team.
Right. Well, yeah. The perfect example of what the Yankees did, and just I'm privy to it because as a catching person, I pay attention, is Mitch Garver, who was the catcher for the Twins last year, who won the Silver Slugger.
Yeah.
He was the only catcher in the MLB that went like from his knees the entire time, and I think he mentioned in a podcast that he was on 2 feet for one pitch last season, and he was much improved receiver, but he also won the Silver Slugger. Well, within, you know, as soon as the season ended, the Yankees hired the guy that was running the catchers, you know, Tanner Swanson, and they brought him over. And you can just tell, like, they're like, okay, we're not going to teach Gary Sanchez how to do something different. We're going to help Gary have success. Yeah. And we want him to hit 50 home runs from behind the plate. And I just think when you see stuff like that, that creativity, I think that's really, really cool. And then again, like that challenges you and should inspire you as a youth coach. Okay, look, if they're going to be that creative at that level, let's get creative at our level.
Right.
You know? And I think that I do. I think when you're talking with baseball, you know, people, like, the people that are able to flow and adjust are the ones that really have a chance to explain the game. Mm-hmm. And I think the people that are maybe a little bit more rigid in their ways, I think what I like about when I talk to people like that is their conviction to how something has works or has success. I listen to that. And maybe I think I have a different thought, but I'm definitely trying to steal why the person believes in that as much. And then just kind of like you said earlier, I'm trying to add another tool to my tool set. And, you know, the more convicted a person is in their belief, you know, there probably is a reason why they're convicted to that. You know, very, very few people are going, well, it's this way and there's not been any success behind that.
Right.
You know, so I think, like I said, I'm fortunate enough to be around a great group of people in this area that we talk baseball. We're open to things. We try things, and you know, there's some stuff we take, some stuff we lose, and I think that there's some things that we know how to explain, and there's other things that maybe we don't know how to explain. So we go and find the person that can explain it to us. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big believer in not teaching something that I don't fully understand. But if I don't understand something, I'm going to work really hard so I do understand it very quickly.
Yeah, I really appreciate that approach. And I know that any parents that listen or any coaches, everybody appreciates the genuine approach that you've got, because we have good coaches around here and the leagues that I've been in this community who see it that way. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't have the depth of knowledge. Coaches didn't have that depth of knowledge,
right.
Didn't have the tools and didn't have the insights. So we appreciate the way I know that you're going about that, knowing as much as you can before you try to teach it.
Yeah. And I think, and just the advantage of, just having, you know, the internet where you can look stuff up, where, you know, I know my dad, you know, he would show us books and, you know, we were already reading in school. So we were like, yeah, sure, Dad, I read it. You know, like, what did it say? You know, it said this. And he's like, yeah, not even close. Right. But, you know, I think though that's why baseball is one of those games because it's such an intriguing game, such an inviting game, and because there is so much knowledge and there's so much strategy out there that it really does allow people to understand and try to, you know, teach it. And I think that's where, like we were talking about earlier, just, you know, it's fun. Like that whole aspect is fun. And, you know, I love getting into, you know, debates about stuff because, you know, I'm not scared to lose. Like I can go in and, you know, if you can change my mind, then one of two things, either I was wrong or I wasn't as convicted to what I thought was going on, you know, and then it was. So there's no reason to ever, you know, walk away or not want to get into a debate about something because you can always grow and learn as a coach, as a player, and as a parent. Cause I'm excited. Like I've been coaching 14 years. I've never coached my own kid. My brother. I know. I actually coached, I was an assistant on, for my brother who's at the pitching coach at Dayton.
Yeah.
And my dad, was the assistant. I was an assistant. So I got to coach my brother, which was the closest I've ever been to coaching, you know, family, or I did coach family, but coaching my own kid. And my daughter came up to me and said, "Dad, you know, I want to play some softball." So I'm being asked to coach the team. And I tell you what, you know, the patience that maybe I show with other people is, man, I want to find that when I'm working with my daughter, for sure.
It's going to be a different feeling, but I'm sure it'll be, you'll be successful at that. And that's a whole different set of tools. Those are dad tools that cross over into sports. But listen, man, we could have to do this again.
Hey, just let me know. I had a blast and I'd love to come on. So you just, you know, shoot me an email and we'll set it up.
Because your perspective is valuable and unique. You're coming from a successful high school, different part of the country, has been a part of the D1 world. And, you know, let's save that for the next one.
Awesome. Yeah, I know. Okay. And if you're ever interested, I can probably see, as long as the NCAA rules are good, I can probably get my brother and me to both come on,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. So that'd be great.
We'll get that for you as well. So, yeah, just shoot me an email.
Yeah, sure.
And we're all in.
So thanks again for getting in touch. And, you know, I appreciate it.
Awesome. I'm excited. Thanks, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack.
Sounds good.
Okay, man. Bye.
Come on, let the kids play.
Baseball Dads is produced and engineered at Crow Hop Studios in Fishers, Indiana.
Let them play.
O'Reilly. This is Derek's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
After the third time jump-starting my car, I finally realized my battery was dying. So I stopped by O'Reilly to have it checked. They tested it right there in the parking lot. It was bad, real bad. But they helped me find the right battery for my car and even installed it for free. Now my car starts like new.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Producer Richard Lerma, the client is the Home Depot. Production date October 21st, 2020. Copyright 2020. This is a 30-second stereo spot in Spanish. Spot title: Pro Paint / Bear Ultra Scuff Defense / $29.60 / Hispanic / CN30. Ad ID YHTHD24RP30.
Como pintor profesional, sabes que tus clientes quieren un acabado mate, pero no quieren pagar el precio de tener que batallar con mugre y marcas. Usa el nuevo Bear Ultra Scuff Defense de The Home Depot para un acabado mate hermoso, más una defensa contra manchas y marcas. Y ese precio, desde solo $29.60 al galón. Y eso es antes del descuento Pro Extra. Una pintura mate que resiste las marcas. Bear Ultra Scuff Defense. Solo en The Home Depot. Haces más, logras más. Disponible por internet y en tiendas seleccionadas.
I thought I'd have to choose between an IT degree and certifications. Until I found WGU. There I earned both through one program. WGU prepared me to earn certs from CompTIA and others at no extra cost. WGU IT bachelor's and master's degrees have no set class times. Rather, students progress at their pace, completing as many courses as they can each six-month term. I graduated faster, and you could too. Learn more at wgu.edu.
Howie Politics and State Affairs Pro offer insider election coverage, polling, and analysis in Indiana. Our nonpartisan news and legislative tools create a winning combination pro subscribers can't live without. For all the resources you need this election season and beyond, visit pro.stateaffairs.com/IN. That's pro.stateaffairs.com/IN.